Good morning, everyone. So I hear that Christmas is supposed to be a time of joy. And if we can pull up that first slide. And this is my niece Emma and my nephew Jordan. And I would say that they beg to differ, that Christmas is not always so joyous. This is each of them when they were about 1 year old. This was Emma in 2010 and my nephew Jordan last Christmas. And I was talking to my older brother Rob about this, and he was just, you know, he has that kind of, he's half joking and laughing as he's talking about, but you could also see the pain on his face as he was describing, I stood in line for 2 hours to see Santa at the mall, paid a lot of money, and here's the result, priceless. I love her hand is kind of like squealing out in pain as she's trying desperately to get back to her parents. Now, we laugh a little bit looking at these pictures, but the truth is, for many of us, Christmas season isn't always a time of joy, right? We deal with external hardships in our lives. We deal with internal struggles that we have. And even if you are happy this season, because you're getting into the Christmas spirit, you're looking forward to presents, you're looking forward to spending time with family, for a lot of us, that happiness is temporary. It's seasonal until we return to our routine, to the burdens of our daily lives. And so, or even maybe for some of us, we're happy, but it's at the cost of trying to tune out the very real suffering or violence of other people that we see on the 6 o'clock news or in our world today. Now, about 700 years before Jesus was born, God gave this man named Isaiah these prophetic words to speak to people about this coming king, a Messiah king, a Christ king. And basically, God explained to him who Messiah is and what he will be to us. And I believe that he wants to give you a gift this morning to reimagine what your life would look like if it was filled with joy through Jesus. And so in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2 and 3, you heard us read this morning, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. You have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy at the harvest. You hear this joy thing going on? As they are glad when they divide up these spoils. You see, out of our journeys in darkness, our hurts and our struggles, our sins and our fears, a light has come. A new day has dawned. A joy has arrived. And the million-dollar question that we must answer this morning is, how do we experience that kind of freedom and joy from God? Well, let's look on in this passage. In Isaiah chapter 9, picking up from verse 4, for the yoke of his burden and the staff for his shoulder, the rod of his oppressors, you have broken as on the day of Midian. For every boot of the trampling warrior in battle tumult and every garment rolled in blood will be burned as fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end. On the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. Let's stop right there. So as we talk about what it would look like to have our lives move out of darkness into light, to experience this joy that is described in Isaiah, some of you came here this morning with questions or with hurts. You're looking for answers. You're looking for direction in life from God. Well, he has a gift for you today. With the coming of this child on a Christmas morning over 2,000 years ago, came one who was sent to guide us, to help us, and we can now experience lasting joy in Jesus because we're told in Isaiah that he is a wonderful counselor. It means that this Messiah King, that he's come to be an advisor to us. He gives counsel to us, and his counsel is perfect in wisdom. And that even though he is a great king, we don't have to jump through hoops or we don't have to go see various like politicians and bureaucrats in order to meet with him, that we have direct access with him. He is our counselor. You see, the problem in our lives is many of us, we have a lot of people give us counsel, but most of them are knuckleheads, right? And everybody's got an opinion, And a lot of times it leaves you over some cliff because it doesn't cost them anything. It's just words. But for us, we need to think about, well, you know, a lot of times it's so hard to discern what is the wisest course of action. A lot of times we're confused and we don't know which direction to go because we have muddled thinking. We carry emotional baggage. We have maybe negative experiences from the past. Maybe you grew up in a family of origin that gives you a lot of other kinds of crazy thoughts or strange ideas about how to deal with life. But the reality is that our understanding, our emotions, sometimes our decision-making is skewed by a lot of the baggage that we carry. And so sometimes we don't know whether to listen to other people or to even trust our own hearts. But what Scripture says is that Jesus, he isn't just mostly right. He doesn't just have a pretty good idea what to do. He is always right. He is perfect in his understanding and in his guidance. He is the spiritual GPS that will lead us home. And when it describes him as a wonderful counselor, that word wonderful, it's not simply, well, that person is so nice. He's so pleasant. He's so wonderful, right? That sounds like your mom trying to set you up on a blind date with somebody and describing this person that they don't really want you to take a look at. They're so wonderful. But there's a deeper implication than that, because in Isaiah, this same word is used in chapter 25, verse 1, where God is being praised for his awesome deeds that he's performed as an all-powerful, sovereign God throughout history. Literally, the word means wonderful, full of his wonders, full of his supernatural work and his miraculous power. Jesus is the God of wonders. He is a counselor who gives understanding and comfort and direction. And when we hear from him, it's not just our own random thoughts. It's not just daydreams that we have. It's not things we thought of through our own intellect. It's not advice from somebody who's just an equal or just a little bit smarter than us. It's not just having a fuzzy feeling in your stomach that God is speaking to you. That's usually just gas, right? But what we're talking about is this kind of wisdom that is supernatural. It is full of God's wondrous power. And you see, the problem is a lot of times when we feel like God is speaking to us and leading us and giving us counsel and advice, we get frustrated. Because maybe we'll try to do what God tells us to do, but most of us, we don't fully experience or grasp what it means to trust Jesus in the long term when God is leading us to something, when his wisdom doesn't seem to pan out right away. I spoke with an elderly Christian a couple weeks ago, a guy in his early 80s, and I asked him the question, you know, You've gone through a lot of things in life. You've gone through a lot of hardships. His finances have gone up and down. He's had diseases up and down. His health has been up and down. And I asked him, what's helped you most to navigate away from the troubles of life? What helped you to figure out what to do when you couldn't go around those troubles, but you had to face them head on? And his advice to me was, you know, for the last 80 some odd years, I always asked Jesus what to do. In my experience over these past 80 years, he's never steered me wrong. He said, I would pray and listen to what is God's voice speaking to me about. And then I would know it's from God because his word has been buried in my heart. I've been reading the scripture since a very young age, so I knew when it was from God because it always matched and lined up with his word. Now, do you know that you have that same guidance available for you? You see, we waste a lot of time and energy and worry scurrying around, stressed out, because we don't know what to do. But God has given us a king named Jesus who is a wonderful counselor. Even if you're crippled by emotional pain, seeing a therapist is a good thing. I want you to know that that can be one of the agents of God's healing in your life. But you need to also remember that we have a perfect counselor who hears us, who understands us, who works miraculous, wondrous things to in our life to speak help and hope and comfort into our hearts and minds, because he is a wonderful counselor. His name is Jesus. So if you're stuck in a dark place this morning, if you feel lost or confused, I want you to picture Jesus before you. Turn your eyes towards him and ask him for that perfect wisdom and guidance that's filled with his supernatural power. I want you to imagine the kind of joy that you could experience this Christmas by turning to Jesus as your wonderful counselor. Now, for some of us, we came here feeling this morning, came here feeling powerless. Maybe you're not feeling lost and confused, but you're feeling like you're stuck. You need help because you're stuck in an unfair circumstance or you're dealing with unjust people. And God has a gift for you as well. With the birth of this seemingly helpless child in a feeding trough for animals, in a barn, came someone who is able to rescue us, someone who is strong. We can experience joy in King Jesus because he's also mighty God. In other words, he is creator of the heavens and the earth. He is Lord over it all. And Jesus isn't some wimpy God where it's kind of like, well, God, if you maybe you can help, maybe you can't. Kind of like all these mythologies that other people during that time grew up with. He's mighty. It means he's strong. He's able. He's the hero of our story, and he wants to be involved in our lives. Back in Luke chapter 18, Jesus describes how there's sometimes an unjust judge might grant a powerless widow justice if she'll just keep asking long enough, if she'll just keep nagging him about it. But how much more so would a God who actually cares about us, who is just, who wants to hear from us, how much more so will he help us? In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Jesus says to the Apostle Paul, as he is suffering through some physical ailments, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in your weakness." And Paul is able to respond to that. "For when I am weak, then I am strong in Christ." And what that means is if you're trapped in a situation beyond your control, you feel overwhelmed by your circumstances, that you can turn to someone and count on this Messiah King for hope and help. If there's someone in your life who has authority over you, but they're unjust, they're unfair, they're unkind towards you, there's one who has greater authority over them and you that you can turn to. I asked a friend in our congregation if I could share her story. But she was sharing with me about how she's dealing with a corrupt, kind of unreasonable supervisor at work. And this supervisor would continue to put more work on her, as well as putting blame on her when things didn't go his way. And as I was counseling this sister, and she learned what does it look like to turn to Jesus, God shows up. Jesus shows up as mighty God. And in fact, this poor boss, like in his corruptness and in his evil, he's kind of reaping the fruit of his wickedness. He's being forced to leave this job. Jesus caused this guy to get fired. And so God is mighty. He can intervene in very powerful ways. Now, here's the problem with the situation, though. You see, this boss, he may be fired or he may be losing his job, but he's still staying around long enough to badmouth this new manager, their new manager, to write up a negative report about her. And so this person had to continue praying to Jesus, turning to him as mighty God, and the way that Jesus dealt with it was as mighty God, was to strengthen her by giving her friends to help her with writing a letter of response, by giving her last-minute help in her union representative meeting, by giving her courage to stand up, by giving her perseverance to outlast this boss, and giving her grace to even be kind, to show kindness and grace towards this other person. You see, as we turn to Jesus as mighty God and ask for help, sometimes he changes the circumstances, but sometimes he changes you. But either way, he is the God who is mighty to save. For some of us, we sit here and when we think about, well, I do pray to God, why hasn't he healed me? Why hasn't he healed my friend? How do I know that he's mighty? Well, the truth is, can Jesus heal or raise people? Yes, he does. He can and he does do that. But he doesn't do it for everyone. Why? During his earthly ministry, he would heal some people. He would raise some people from the dead. But then they'd just live some more, but ultimately, they would die again. You see, he didn't do it that often because that's only a temporary solution to the long-term problem of sin and death. But how do we know that Jesus is a mighty God? This is how mighty he is. He overcame our sin. He overcame his death to rise and to be our victory and our Savior. To all who believe and receive Jesus, he is mighty to save. Amen? And so when we feel hopeless and helpless, I want you to picture Jesus with you, standing there by your side, that you can turn to him and ask for his help. You can trust in his strength. And imagine the joy that you could experience this Christmas by turning to him as your mighty God. Now, for some of us, you came this morning and you're not feeling lost or confused. You're not feeling helpless and hopeless. But maybe you came here feeling lonely or uncared for by people. God also has a gift for you today. You see, with the giving of his Son, we can now experience joy in Jesus as an everlasting Father. You see, this Christ King has come, and like a good king, he acts as a good father to all those who are under his benevolent rule and reign. And so I want you to think back, for those of you who are familiar with the Bible, to the kings of Israel. There were a lot of them, but you know, some of them were pretty good, but they were considered fathers over their nation. Some of them are good, some of them were even great. And if you think back to the greatest of the kings of Israel, David, he also made mistakes. He abused his power. He forgot to see people not just as people under his rule, but under his care as the father of the nation. But Jesus is a better king. He's always just. He's always good. He notices you and protects you. He provides for us and cares for us. He knows you because he is a better father over us all. And the best part about this is that Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 says he is an everlasting father. He's God. He's everlasting. That means his reign as a good king, as a good father over you, it's, and your house and your family and your world never end. It means that in those moments where we feel lonely, unloved, uncared for, there's always a friend, a big brother, a father in Jesus. It means if you grew up in a home where maybe your dad was abusive or cruel or absent, not there for you, that there is a dad who intercedes and supersedes in his reach and his influence to you as a heavenly dad. It means that even if you have a good dad or you come from a good family, but you know that your family is still human, still imperfect, sometimes sinful, or maybe your dad is gone now, maybe even returned to the Lord, that God did not leave you to fend for yourself. No, you see, with him, there's no beginning and no end. He always was, he is, and he will be. He will never leave you out in the cold. He's never going to forget you. He's never going to abandon you. His protection, his involvement, his care in your life wasn't just yesterday and today or tomorrow, but the day after that and the day after that and forevermore. That is an everlasting father. I remember celebrating Christmas in 1980 when I was a kid. And I remember very specifically this picture in my mind of my dad and his strong arms wrapped around me, kind of more like arm wrestling me, or wrestling me and kind of bear hugging me. But I always remember that picture in my mind of him as a loving dad. That summer, many of you know, he came down with liver cancer and lost that struggle and passed away when I was 8 years old. And then I think about myself without the direction from my earthly father. The way that I reacted to that was to be sinful and foolish by rejecting and rebelling against God. But what I discovered is that Jesus is a patient king, an everlasting father who never gave up on me. And even though it took me until college as I was running from him and running from him for him to grab a hold of me, that no matter how much I stole from people, no matter how much drugs I did, no matter how many women I slept with, no matter how much I ran away, that Jesus is an everlasting patient father who never gives up. And when Jesus took a hold of me and cleaned up my life, he didn't just move on to the next project or to the next person. I know that his promise to stay by my side was permanent, like a good dad, forever, an everlasting father. And I think about, for my son, that there will come a day when I let my son down, that I won't always be able to be there for him. But I trust in the promise about Jesus, that it will be true for him, just as it was for me. When you feel lonely, when you feel forgotten, you can turn to Jesus and allow him to be an unfailing, ever-present dad to you. And though we are more flawed than we'd ever dare to admit, you are more loved than you'd ever dare to imagine, because he is an everlasting Father. And so I want you to imagine the joy you could experience this Christmas by turning to Jesus as an everlasting dad. Now, some of you came here this morning, and it's not being lost or confused that you're dealing with. It's not feeling helpless or hopeless. It's not that you're lonely. But some of you came here filled with anxiety, depression. Some of you are stressed because you're trapped in ongoing conflicts in your life and you don't know how to break that cycle of continuously fighting and fighting with someone that maybe you actually care about. God has a gift for you as well. With the coming of God's chosen Messiah, we can now experience joy in Jesus as the Prince of Peace. You see, during Isaiah's time, this author of this passage, the nation of Israel was at war. And the king was not handling it very well. The people were very worried. There was external unrest. There was internal anxiety. There was no peace. And in our day, I would guess that it's not much different for many of us. Now, you may be content for the most part, but all it takes is just a little bit of external pressure in your life. And if your peace is dependent on situations, then you're going to find that your happiness is fleeting. I found a $20 bill. Yay! I lost that $20 bill. Where is it? Boo! And then you're frustrated. You lack peace. You feel unsettled. But what if there is one who has come who brings abiding peace, a lasting joy, in whatever circumstance of life that we find ourselves? Imagine the last time that you lost your wallet. Or imagine being on the road and somebody cuts you off and flips you off. Imagine that time you had to give an important presentation or you had to have an important confrontation with somebody that you were scared to deal with. Imagine that time when you didn't get the grade or the girl, you didn't get the job or the house that you always thought you were going to get. What if those things don't have to rule over you? What if instead there's a prince who rules and under his reign you can experience peace? Or for some of us, maybe you're stuck. You're stuck in unending cycles of disagreement, so it's hard to even find peace in your life because you're constantly arguing with maybe people at work or people that you love. Jesus is the Prince of Peace who has power to calm our tongues and our hearts and to transform us into peacemakers. If you will just ask him for that, if we will yield ourselves to however he leads and empowers us to treat other people. He's a Prince of Peace, no matter what the circumstances are. But maybe your lack of peace isn't external. Maybe it's inside you. If you're crippled by anxiety, or depression, or stress, he promises in John chapter 14, verse 27, to give the kind of peace that's not of this world, that's not dependent on situations, whether your situation is up or whether it's down. It's the kind of peace that lasts. It's the kind in Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that's described as surpassing anyone's ability to understand. It's the kind of peace that guards our hearts in our minds, because he is the pauper of peace. He's not the miser of peace. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords, and his name is Jesus. And so when we feel anxious, when we feel depressed, when we feel stressed out and burnt out, imagine turning to this Jesus, this King of Kings, this Lord of Lords, this Prince of Peace, and ask him to be your peace today. Imagine the joy we could experience this Christmas by turning to Jesus as your Prince of Peace. There was an American soldier who was captured behind enemy lines. And as he was taken prisoner, they bound him in chains. They locked him in a dark cell of a POW camp. And this camp, they were filled with human rights violations. They kept him in a 12 by 8 cell. There was no lights. He was never allowed out of his cell. And he just sat in his filth, day in, day out. Days turned into months where he would just sit in the dark, no help, no hope. One day, there's a huge commotion in the camp. It seemed like all the prison guards were in a panic. And so word began to spread amongst the POWs. I think rescue is coming. And in fact, people started believing that the U.S. forces would arrive by first light. But to crush these soldiers' hope of freedom, the guards began telling them, you know what, you may think that help is coming at first light, but you're never going to live to see the dawn. We're going to execute every single one of you in the middle of the night. And so what they did was, even though all of these soldiers were sitting in darkness, they blindfolded all of them, preparing them for execution. They removed their chains to let them know, we're about to lead you out at any moment to be shot in the back of the head. The amazing thing was, the U.S. rescue operation, they came to this camp, and what they found was that it was completely deserted of all the prison guards. All the doors were already open. All the prisoners were just sitting there without chains on. But they were still sitting there, afraid in the dark that they were going to be led to the slaughter. You see, they were unaware that the light had already come, that they were already free. And some of us live like that too. We sit in the dark, afraid. We think that, sure, Jesus can do all these things. He is wonderful counselor. He is mighty God. He is everlasting Father. He is Prince of Peace. But nothing's going to change in my life. We don't believe him when the light has already come. And the problem is, those who fear the darkness have no idea what the light can do. But when we allow the light of Jesus to shine through us, it transforms our darkness into joy. And I want you to think about what that might look like for you this morning. Earlier, we had every single one of you write something just between you and God on a slip of paper, an area of life where there's darkness, and you put it in a bowl as a gesture of giving it to Jesus this morning. And what I had some of our helpers do was to collect them and to tape them up on the back of the screen so that literally you could see what it looks like when the light of Jesus shines through our darkness and transforms it into joy. Because God told Isaiah back then that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And you have multiplied the nation. You have increased its joy. They rejoice before you as with joy in the harvest. If you are open to receiving Jesus that way this morning, I want to invite you to join me in a moment of prayer. If you want that, I want you to imagine Jesus standing here with you this morning. You can talk to him this morning. That's all that prayer is. And you would talk to him. Tell him about this area of darkness that you gave up or that you want to give to him. And I challenge you to invite him to be your wonderful counselor, your mighty God, your everlasting Father, your Prince of Peace. And as a gesture of your willingness to let him take that darkness and transform it into his joy, I'm going to ask you as you pray, if you are willing to do that, to stand in his presence, in his honor, in trust in him. Let's bow in a word of prayer.